God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and when they're gone.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Hello! Greetings, one and all, though I know all are not here. I also know there's more than one, so I'm wrong on both counts. Visibles in the saucer pod, somewhere above the cloud cover of the suffocating blanket of materialism and attendant gases that baffles, confuses, and generally subordinates and intimidates the ordinary mind into following patterns of circular pointlessness, as if there were some value to be had where people know the price of everything. Last week, I was talking about any number of possibly related things. I just got a contact from James telling me that he had to have my show immediately, so we're kind of winging it, and I hope you'll bear with us on that account. I mentioned there are simple truths and practices that are based on powerful and profound concepts when taken as literal truths and implanted and impressed upon the deeper structure of our being. They resonate with force that swiftly repels all negative potential in all possible circumstances. One can spend their life toying with concepts, or they can employ them. People can speculate or they can activate. People can talk or they can do. People can go along with the program or they can step out of the program by any means necessary, so long as the desired effect is accomplished. No real injury is ever committed if one's intentions are of greater freedom for all. Life is a game whose purpose is to ensnare. Once the basic principle of existence is grasped, once the essential understanding has taken root in a person, they know what they are up against. It can come in 10,000 forms and employ endless strategies, but it's always the same thing coming from another angle. The game is afoot. Step away from the board. Have no price and no expectations. Have no investment in anything exterior to you. Great wealth, power, and position can come to anyone. It has been showered on very good people as well as very bad people. In times of darkness, the tendency with good people is to become corrupted, and the tendency with bad people is to get worse. This does not mean that it will happen to you if you are a master within. Take command of it within, and it will have no power over you on the outside. The outside is only a projection of the inside. The outside is only a projection of the inside. The outside is an extension of the inside, and the perception of what is taking place on the inside is based on the disposition of the plot maker within. These are not new thoughts. These thoughts have been landing in certain airports for a long time. They usually aren't given clearance because air traffic control is under the control of the enemy mind. The mind does not have to be an enemy. It can be convinced to be a friend, but like a dog or a monkey or a bear, it requires training. It requires repetition. It requires confidence and certainty. It requires assurance in the end product. It can't be vacillating, conditional, or wavering. This has to be transmitted to the enemy mind so that it possesses the same confidence on the friend side that it already has on the enemy side. Due to the constant giving way of the person that the mind is supposed to belong to, there is your problem, given the enemy side. One can think of the mind as a house where the original tenants have been ejected. In their absence, demons are partying down, eating the food, drinking the wine, and knocking holes in the walls just for laughs. Meanwhile, the original occupant is wandering in the wasteland with no idea of who he or she is. Until they do, returning to their original abode is not an option. The truth is they never left. Only thinking makes it so. The idea that you are no longer in the proper hierarchy of control in relation to the starship of your own being is a fundamental problem of existence for most people. They don't know who's in charge. This means someone is in charge or more than one entity in a competing, is competing for control, and that does not bode well for the starship. And the dogs are going nuts. This is the origin of stress in the individual and in society. Not knowing who is in charge leads to a power struggle, and the power struggle is going on everywhere around us. Take a long, close look at the people passing you in the streets, especially watch the generations and the looks on their faces. Sit in a public location, close your eyes, and listen to the invisible traffic. Some of us are telepaths, so that is not such a difficult task. Most of the time, people's concerns are not about anything essential or important. They're about petty worries and interests that eventually lead to manifest problems in the physical realm, and that which we have feared has come upon us. Most of the time, their interests lead to complications at a future moment for the purpose of demonstration to the effect that nothing is desirable or important other than connection to and conversation with the ineffable. Many people find this to be a difficult concept to grasp. They do not see how seeking the divine at all times and in all things pays off in the material realm. Somehow, and for some reason, people are certain they can manage their affairs better, and so the divine lets them do just that, and that is the primary reason for the existence of death, or what appears to be death. It's not really death in any actual sense. You just move from vehicle to vehicle, taking on the shape of the life form that best expresses your dominant desire in relation to your thoughts at the moment of your transfer out. Many people think that they will just remember the divine on their deathbed, but fail to realize that if they have not had this thought uppermost in their minds on their way to this moment, that certain angelic beings are sent out to remove these thoughts from the minds of those who have no capital in that particular bank. You can argue about this till the cows leave home, but there will be no milk and cheese in the stables in their absence. Yes, the primary concern for every living thing is recognition of control central when everything is under control. The secondary concern is for what and for whom is the purpose of demonstration. Any individual who figures out these simple considerations is on their way to something finer than they have known before. Let's look at it another way. We're at a football game. All the individual players want to excel, to stand out. Some of them wind up doing stupid things, pursuing a moment of greatness. Certain other players recognize that the coach understands the game a lot better than they do, and that their best hope lies in taking instruction from the coach. They devote themselves to fulfilling the game plan of the man who understands the strategy across the board, the field, the court. Nobody likes a prima donna or a diva. Their degree of self-adulation turns off everyone but that collection of dimwits who celebrates the cult of personality and only waits for their turn to be able to operate in the same way. Life is a team sport. I realize I sound like one of those preachers that comes into the locker room just before the big game and rouses the players with simplistic platitudes, but those platitudes happen to be true. I want to be a complete extension of the will of my coach. Last night I sat here till 4 in the morning. My teacher showed up at about 2 a.m. and said, "Have a couple of glasses of wine. I want to talk to you." So I went and did that, and very shortly my teacher came full-blown into my mind. He said, "I can use any vehicle to reach you, and very soon I'm going to be talking to you the way, well, how did he put it? Talking to you the way you could only experience previously on psychotropic drugs. The ordinary barriers to heightened perception are going to come down very shortly for you and others that I want to reach in a more direct and sustained fashion. I'm here now. I'm right here, and I'm not going away. There's nothing you can do that will send me away. There is not a single event or moment in your life where I have not been fully in control. Since the hour of your birth, this has been true. I'm known for taking my time. My time and your time are now coming close together. You want me fully realized within you? Let me say that that is already accomplished. All that remains is for me to activate your awareness of it. And there's nothing you can do anymore to stop it happening. Forget about good and evil. They're nothing more than props in a theater production. They are irrelevant in terms of real meaning. I am the determinant of what things mean. I decide what is real, as you are going to see very soon. Nothing is the way it was before. There is no longer a before. There is only right now." This went on for a couple of hours, and I heard things I couldn't possibly repeat. They would sound outrageous, but I believe they must be true. I've been hearing the same thing for long enough now, and it doesn't vary in tone or content. New statements and concepts occur, but the general feeling is the same. It's hard to take after so many years of hardship and the ongoing sense of cosmic indifference to suddenly hear things that make no sense in terms of my previous experience. It's been going on like this since Italy, and whatever I've been told has come to pass or looms on the horizon now. It's perplexing to me. I don't think very well of myself sometimes, and then I get told that my life and the conditions of it are not and have never been in my hands, and that the key to complete and total success is in the surrender to and utter reliance upon the ineffable. To the degree that I am not reliant on the ineffable will create situations that will guarantee circumstances in which I have to rely upon it, and every one of them will work out, and they will work out with the effortless ease or relative difficulty determined by the degree of my level of surrender. Once my level of surrender, or anyone's level of surrender, has come to the maximum level possible for the particular individual, the wraps come off. This is going to become possible for some number of us shortly. The curve of awakening is going to go through the roof soon. Sadly, many people are not going to take advantage of it. We do our best to bring some little light of understanding to the world with our little lanterns, but this is a time of darkness. Many of us are laboring in our own way, seemingly with little help, and meeting walls of indifference as we go. That's all going to change. The luminosity of our lanterns is going to become vastly increased, or so I am told. It is no great task to focus on the negative. It abounds around us. There's hardly any good news to be heard. The personalities that hold forth on the world's stages are among the worst of the human experiment, and they are everywhere at the moment. They have been elevated into these positions for the purposes of demonstration. It's meant to be this way. So it stands to reason that many of us have fallen into doubt and despair concerning what lies ahead. This is a trap and a bad one. This is a test and a big one. This is an opportunity, an immense opportunity for those who can walk in darkness and hold to the promise of the light. Long as I can see the light, as John Fogerty would say. We've had scriptures enough. We have the testimony and evidence of great art. We have those songs of true inspiration that speak to the listening heart, if the heart is listening. We have the memory of enduring moments that remind us of what we believed and knew to be possible, but which have become obscured by the conditions of the present. This is a blind. What you're seeing is not real, but the real is coming. For many years in my life, the voice that speaks to me and which has made possible the few things I can do with some degree of ability came only occasionally. There were periods of immense transformation, but much longer periods of being buried in murk and bounced from one seeming reality to the other, always trying to get somewhere with my various artistic projects, never realizing that my real project hadn't even presented itself yet, and never realizing that I was the project. We are the project. Then, a few years ago, all of a sudden, the voice began to appear with greater and greater frequency, and I continue to be told that it's going to become like, well, like running water. Always present. And I've been told that an intoxication is going to begin to attend it. I can't wait. I suspect that similar circumstances are on the way to some number of us. So be steadfast, not believing in appearances, not deceived by conditions that exist for no other reason than to strengthen our faith and bring us to the point wherein it can prove to be the substance of things unseen. This is all scripted. It may look random, and it may look like our entire reality is in the hands of psychopaths and dime store scoundrels, but that's not true. It just looks that way. It just looks that way. I've had my share of it just looks that way more than I care to remember in recent times. But I've also had my share of having deeper, hidden realities surface that inform me about things I very much needed to know, but did not know. Apocalypse and revelation are synonymous. Both of them indicate the same idea in a different way. Revelation is a more direct title for what awaits us. It begs a deeper consideration and will reward the seeker who inquires more deeply into the implications of it. I only pass on what I hear. Hopefully, in the mishmash of my one-way conversations with you, such as this, some few things of value may surface now and again. I am a tad sorry if I wasn't as centered together and cohesive and comprehensive as I ordinarily might be. But as I said, I'm under the gun, so to speak, time-wise. Anyway, as that happens, or may so happen to be, we've come to the end of another broadcast. Here at the beginning of the approach of another week. Our reflection upon the week just passed can be very telling in terms of the week in front of us. Self-inquiry is a very powerful tool that is seldom used to its fullest potential. May you find the time to avail yourself of needed reflection upon the ways in which we spend our time and change the things that we can. Well, run out of thoughts. So, I'll see you next week, if there is one. May the light of God's great and immeasurable love flood your being and lift you to new horizons and heights of awareness. That said, Hare Krishna, Aloha, and Haru.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.